Welcome to Pearson Podcast. I'm Mike.
And this is Orlando, and we're on episode 395, a themed episode. And so, you know, I don't know. Give your spiel. We do long-form podcasts. How's it go now?
Yeah, so, okay, so here's the deal. You're coming in a little soft here, Orlando.
Am I really? I'm
sorry. Your intro into the podcast kind of feels like you might be a little bit burned out, which is a good segue into what we're talking about today, which is preventing burnout for resellers. Now, thank you for listening to Pearson Podcast. This is our Wednesday episodes. We have a Wednesday episode every single Wednesday, and this is our long-form content. And then on these episodes, we kind of switch. One week, we do a themed episode where we talk about something specific related to reselling. So this week, we are talking about preventing burnout, right? And this is something I think we've all felt at certain times. And then every other week, we do a update episode where we get to talk about what's going on in our life in regards to reselling, what's going on in the reselling world in general, some of the important updates that are happening to Mercari or eBay or the post office or things that affect us as resellers. And then we also get to talk about BOLOs and hustles of the week and all these fun things. So make sure to listen all the way to the end. We've got a lot of great content. And I think this is a timely episode because I feel like we've talked a lot, and I think less recently, but we have talked a lot about the difficulties in the economy and just in general that people are feeling. And we try not to harp on that too much, especially it's like we've already talked about that. We all are feeling it. Now all we can do is move forward. But with that, a lot of people have had to really step up their game. They've had to really grind it out a little bit more in order to keep going. And sometimes it's that extra work you're putting in and maybe not always seeing as much return on that work that can create a perfect storm for burnout. So today we're going to be talking about what are the best ways to prevent that burnout so that you can stay profitable, so that you can keep reselling, and then not feel like you hate it the whole time while you're doing it.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this because, you know, burnout's different, right? For a part-time seller, burnout may take a little bit longer. Burnout doesn't happen as much. If you're a full-time reseller, I got to tell you, you burn out, I would say, at least once a year, at least. Maybe two or three times. I know for myself, like, especially when things are tough, you burn out a lot. When the economy's hot and sales are coming through and you're always making that money, like, you don't burn out because you're like, why would I burn out? Like, I'm seeing success. I want success to continue. But when it gets tough, you tend to burn out. And, you know, I had mentioned a couple weeks ago on our update episode how a lot of resellers that used to YouTube, like, have disappeared. And some people had commented like, oh, I just, you know, I'm still doing what I'm doing. I just got kind of tired of the social media. And then other people I know just are done. Like they went and got a job. They're doing a 9-to-5. Or maybe they picked up a couple of part-time jobs. They're driving Uber or whatever it is because they just burnt out. And so I want to help people prevent burnout because burnout is very real in reselling. It's funny. Mike and I were talking before the podcast about how, you know, what is the difference between the different YouTube resellers, right? And I think that we are, I would say the realist, at least I know, because we don't try to sell people a bill of goods. We don't try to tell people, like, you know, reselling is always going to be a win. And, you know, you can win every day and everything's all good. And it's going to be, you know, money just flowing to your bank account. You may get to a stage where it's passive. Like, there's a lot of that stuff out there. And I find that most of it is lies. It's not true. And I'm not calling out anybody. And obviously, I was pretty vague, so it's kind of hard to determine if I'm calling out anybody. But not a lot of people talk about the idea that unless there's something continually happening that's keeping you motivated, because you might say, well, you know, my why, right? My family keeps me motivated, or, you know, putting my son through college, or, you know, taking care of you know, our family vacations. Like, those motivate you, but there comes a point where you're kind of like at this crossroad and you're like, all right, I'm just kind of done, or like you're feeling like you're going to be done. I want people to stop themselves before they get to that. So the first thing I'll say, and I'll let Mike take over a little bit here too, is reselling can consume your life. You've heard people say before that you may be a part-time seller, but part-time sellers end up being full-time resellers while they're part-time. And that happens to a lot of people. Right, you get that first dopamine hit, you get those sales, right? You're telling your spouse or you're telling your friends like, hey, I'm only going to do this like 8, 10 hours. The next thing you know, you're doing it 40 hours a week. You may work a 40-hour job, but during that 40-hour job, you're sending offers, you're listing, you're accepting offers, and it just consumes you, and you have zero boundaries, and that's all you do. And at first, it sounds like fun. Like, hey, I'm making money. I'm making deals. I want to keep doing this. But then it gets to the point where you just can't let it go. And it kind of like consumes. Like if you end up getting, you know, a negative feedback, or you get a return on a big dollar item, and like you're in the middle of a date night with your significant other, and it just brings down your emotion, and that keeps happening, and it's because there's no healthy boundaries there. Like you've basically made your entire world reselling, and I think Mike and I are very good of separating the two. I get consumed sometimes, but. You know, I think what forces me to separate is that I do have kids and I do have other obligations. But you got to be careful, because if it begins to consume you, then your mood, right, whether you feel good about the day, whether you feel bad about the day, isn't about anything else but how things are going on reselling. What are your thoughts on this, Mike?
Yeah, this one's tough. I remember our early days of the podcast, we've had conversations where I remember you'd make comments like you could go 100% on pretty much every area of your life. You could be 100% on this and 100% on this. I made the argument of like, well, you know, you really only have 100% of you. So you kind of have to like divvy that up into different parts of your life. And you can try 100% with the time you've allotted to something. But the hard thing is, in order to be successful entrepreneur, in order to like really make it, it is a time consuming. It isn't oftentimes an all consuming thing. I mean, the most successful people, they are obsessive about what they do. The hard thing is what makes the most successful people, like the top 1% of 1% successful people, isn't always applicable to the average person. And I don't mean to call like, oh, you know, you're just average, but the reality is like there are people who are just, they're built different. Like they thrive on, I don't want to get any sleep at all. I eat, breathe, and live this stuff. And if that's you with whatever you're interested in, a hobby, your work, if it's reselling, like that can be great. But the hard thing is, I think we often try to model our life after those people, right? Like, well, yeah, you know, look at what Elon Musk does. How many, like he sleeps in the office. Like that's just what I'm going to do. And because it works for those people doesn't mean that it's just a copy and paste. Like I can now make this thing my all consuming like passion, and then I'm going to have a happy, healthy, successful career and life. And oftentimes that's not the case. And I don't want to diminish that because, again, like I said, if the top of the top of the top, they almost have to be at that level. But I think most people, they do experience that burnout if they let it consume them. And one of the ways that I think you can kind of find that healthy balance, and as cheesy as it is, like the whole work-life balance thing, but I think is just recognizing a lot of times that the amount of energy and effort you put into something starts to diminish over time. There's the law of diminishing returns, right? If I resell for 4 hours or I resell for 8 hours, it doesn't necessarily mean 8 hours is going to give me double the amount of profit and double the amount of output as far as the input you put in. There comes a certain point where there's some diminishing return there. And then the other side of that is by doing something else. Like for instance, you know what, I'm going to start my morning every day by like going for a walk, or I'm going to start my morning every day by like making a good breakfast and sitting and reading a book for a half hour, or finding something else to kind of like focus you, whether it's like you're into gratitude stuff, whether it's going to church, whether it's working out. One of those things oftentimes can actually give you way more energy when you do a lot of time to reselling. Right. If you spend an hour working on your fitness or your spiritual health or whatever it is you're working on, then oftentimes you can put less amount of energy into other things because you're actually energized. You have the focus. Even with sleep, like we talked about that in the past too. You know, Orlando, you give up sleep a lot. Like you'll stay up late to be grinding, but sometimes getting an extra 2 or 3 hours of sleep could make your next day better. You won't have to put in an extra 2 or 3 hours because you're more focused. You're more on it. So I think that it's almost counterintuitive, but taking a little bit of time to do something else, a little bit of time every day or every week to set aside something else that's energizing to you can actually, that's not lost time from reselling. That could be actually beneficial to your reselling. Now, of course, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. You could go too far on either end, you know, so I don't want to have to clarify everything there, but that is something that's true. Now, another thing is you want to be a little bit selective. This is our point number two. Selective and limit the amount of social media intake you're getting. Now, there's two reasons for this, in my opinion. One of those reasons is the social media that you could be taking in could actually be creating that negative feeling. They could be creating that negative attitude. You get frustrated when you see other people complaining about things and, oh, this problem and that problem. And can you believe that customer did that? What if that happens to me? And, oh, look at that person is making more money than I'm making. Oh, why is it so easy for them? I always go sourcing and I never find those things. And you start to play the compare game, and that can be really detrimental to your mental health. That could be detrimental to like your focus on the business. And the other thing is, a lot of times it's a huge time sink. You know, like you can find yourself spending hours on social media, and you can justify it by saying, but look at all the tips I'm getting. I got this hack and this tip and this tip. But the reality is, a lot of times the amount of time you spend on it versus the benefit you're getting from those tips does not work out, right? You can spend hours on TikTok to get one cooking hack and think that you've justified that time, but you've also just wasted hours of your life. So you got to be careful with it, because it's a huge time sink. It's amazing. If I just told you to sit quietly for 10 minutes, it'd be tough to do. But you could scroll through TikTok or Insta Reels for an hour and not even realize that much time has gone by. And that's time you wasted from reselling. Yeah, or like I said, you can get that compare game going.
Yeah, and I want people to be careful, because I got to tell you, it's hard, especially when things aren't going well. And you watch a reseller saying, I've never failed, right? I've always done it this way. Or, you know, I get up at 3 a.m. and I list 1,000 items by 4 a.m. or whatever it is, right? I'm being a little facetious here. But, you know, you hear that and you're like, man, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I do that? Right? But the thing is, everybody's situation is different, right? We have some people that are in a reselling community that, you know, they're single parents, or they have special needs kids, or, you know, they're older and they have a disability, or, you know, like, I'm pretty sure, you know, the 30-year-old guy that is single that has nothing else except the reselling business, and you got the 65-year-old grandparents who have taken in their grandchildren because they needed to help, you know, family members raise their child and they got a lot going on. They're not going to be able to do the same. Right. And I think a lot of people get caught up in this, like, man, I cannot be like this person. Like you said, the compare game. And I find there are many YouTubers that are pretty much like, if you can't do it like me, then the problem is you. Like, you are failing. And I'm like, no. Like, I've lived enough life to recognize that you can't see it that way. Like, that's an unhealthy way of seeing it. Now, you can also go the other side. You can make yourself a victim and make excuses. I'm not telling people to do that. What I'm telling people to do is, you know, to prevent burnout, don't get caught up on the YouTubes and the social media and all this stuff and looking at all these people that are really successful and not actually gauging their reality compared to your reality, right? And you can only do so much. And that's kind of like the next thing here about having a schedule. I find that... This is me talking to myself here. Having a schedule is one of the best ways I've been able to prevent burnout. Because especially when you're full-time, you go, I have all the time in the world, right? Who cares? Like, I don't have to report to a boss. I don't have to report. I'll pack this later. I'll list this when I feel like it. I'll go sourcing when I feel like it. And, you know, you kind of just, you have no schedule to your week. You have no rhyme or reason why you do what you do. And you end up miserable because you end up not getting stuff done. That's what I have found in my own experience. Like when I get to a place where I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to pack that tonight. Even though you scheduled that time for tonight, I'm going to pack it in the morning. And then more items sell overnight. And then you're like, ah, I'm so done with this. I'm so done with packing. Or you know, it gets time for you to list and you don't have a lot of items, but you never follow through on that schedule. That morning you should have gotten up to go to garage sales, or that Wednesday you should have gone to the thrift, or that local deal that you could have gone to, but you're like, you know what? I'm my own boss. I'm going to sleep. I'm tired. I need to take a break. And there's a time for that, but you didn't schedule it in, and everything just starts snowballing and everything just becomes a mess. And I feel like your life becomes a mess. And the self-employment life is beautiful in the sense that, you know, my kid has an event or there's something going on, I can drop whatever I'm doing. I can go to that. But there are no surprises in your schedule. Whether you have kids, you don't have kids, you know when you have to do certain things, right? If you're trying to go to the gym, you're going to schedule out when you go to the gym. If you're serious. And listen, look at me. I'm not a fitness guy, but I'm saying people that really take care of fitness, like they schedule that. They know when they're going to work out. Right. People that have, for example, on the educational side, when they're working on a doctoral thesis or some kind of research, like they have scheduled times to do that research to make sure it gets done. And the same thing has to happen in reselling. Right. So for me, I know I'm sourcing, you know, for me, it's always Saturday mornings. Wednesday mornings, I always source. Thursday, Friday, you know, I spend scheduling. I have hours that I spend during that schedule where a couple hours are for organizing, because if I don't schedule the time to organize, things just go crazy. Like I have stuff everywhere and it just builds and it builds and it builds. So I have to set aside time, not only to just list, but just to organize things, make sure everything's in the right place. And so I have found over the years that scheduling my time was better, because I got to tell you, the first 2 years of full-time reselling, it was bad. And then eventually just caught up to me. So I don't know. I find that scheduling allows you to control what you can't control. Because, you know, in reselling, you can't control when the sales come in. You can't control when you have to pack things. But you can at least say, you know what? Every weekday from 3 to 4:30, that's when I'm packing items. I'm not going to try to pack them at 11 in the morning and lose 20 minutes packing something. Now, obviously, if you have bigger items, you got to, you know, ebb and flow with the schedule. But scheduling things allows you to feel like you have control of your life so you don't burn out sooner.
No, that's great. And honestly, the reality is, you're going to make time for the things that you put on your schedule. And there's times you can overfill your schedule and you don't get to everything. But I think there's much more likely chance you don't do something if you don't schedule it, you don't make it a priority. The things you prioritize, you're going to do. And, you know, whether it's just a to-do list, a schedule, all those things are very important. And if you don't do those things, you're going to let things slip. And that's the other thing that can happen too if you don't have a schedule, is you could realize like, oh, I didn't do that thing that I had been meaning to do. And it's easy when it's like, okay, listing or sourcing. Those are things that I think you should schedule, at least generally. But other things too, whether it's your taxes or reorganizing your inventory or trying a new platform. Like, hey, I really wanted to try Mercari. I haven't gotten a chance to do it yet. Or I really want to try, you know, Vindu, but I haven't given it a chance yet to do some cross-posting. If you put it on your schedule, okay, next Thursday, I've got some time. In the morning, I'm going to do this. If you do that, you're going to get it done. And then it's not hanging over your head. The moment you write it down on something, it really does make a huge difference for you. If you say, hey, these are the things I'm going to do. I'm going to list on Mercari for the first time. I'm going to figure out Mercari. And you write down, I'm going to do that on Saturday at this time. Then you're not thinking all week like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to try this thing. Yeah. And it just takes it off your mind, right? Yeah. Because now you've got it written down. You get it done. So it's a benefit in that too. And then another thing that's really important is creating separate spaces. Now, again, this is different for every person, right? Like some people have more space than others, but it's really hard. I know what it's like. I mean, I've lived and resold out of a fifth wheel trailer, right? You know, trying to save money. Orlando, we've had the studio at your house. We've had the studio at an office I was renting out, and it makes a difference if you have a specific designated space for reselling. If your living room is also your reselling room, and your normal, you know, office that you use other stuff for is also where you do your reselling, and then your kitchen table is also where you do your reselling, it's really hard to separate what's going on in your life. And it can feel like when you're not reselling, like, hey, I'm supposed to be spending time with family right now, but everywhere I look, I'm seeing, oh, there's a death pile. Oh, that I need to clear off that table. And oh, there's some shipping supplies right here. I should really organize. And it's always on your head when it doesn't need to be. It's always in your mind. So having separate spaces can kind of help you compartmentalize, one, your time, and then also just your mindset of like, okay, when I'm, for instance, I made it a rule to like not watch TV in bed. And this is just something I do, right? Like I don't watch TV in bed because I realized I had a really hard time falling asleep several years ago, like over 10 years ago. And one of the reasons I had a hard time falling asleep was the bed wasn't just a place where you went to sleep. It was a place where you read, you watched TV, you know, played on your phone for a while. And doing all of those things, my brain didn't have that association of as soon as I lay in my bed, now it's time to go to sleep. once I stopped doing all that other stuff and not putting my phone right next to the bed, and all of a sudden sleep becomes easier. Why? Because I have a separate space for different things. When I'm in the living room, I can watch TV. When I'm in my bedroom and I'm laying in my bed, it's time to sleep. And so your brain knows the difference. I mean, you're constantly thinking. Your brain is constantly going, if you, even though you don't realize it, subconsciously. And so, yeah, if you don't have some kind of designated space, now, again, it could be hard, right? Like I'm my office and my reselling room where I do my shipping and a lot of my stuff is also right connected to my gym, and it's also my garage, so it's hot out here, and it's also where my tools are, so when I come out to work on stuff for my car, I've got to come and I see all the, so it isn't always possible to have perfectly separated spaces, but as much as you can compartmentalize, it will make a huge difference.
Listen, it is miserable, and even I would say not even just safe spaces, but separate spaces, organized spaces. In the sense that, you know, I'll give you an example. Like, there's times when I call it the eBay room. So I have two rooms. I have my podcast room, I have the eBay room, and then I have other storage rooms. But the eBay room is a place where I go listing stuff, and the podcast room is where we do the podcast. And sometimes it doubles as a room of storage. But I got to tell you, when I walk into a room and there's like packing paper on one side, and then there's stuff I got at the garage sale last week, and then there's stuff from the thrift store the other day, and then there's, you know, more packing supplies, and then I gotta like walk through a maze just to get into the room safely, and then I step on some inventory and destroy it or something. Like, it gets really, you begin to go like, I'm done with it. I don't even want to walk into that room. I don't want it. You become a hoarder, and what it does is it causes you to burn out, because you're like, I don't want to see any of that stuff. You know, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. So I'm just not going to deal with it. So you slowly start burning out, where you don't even want to resell. You don't even enjoy looking at the items that you picked up to make money on, because you never listed them. You never saw the profit on them. You're just staring at them. Okay. Now, one way to really help yourself not to burn out is to make sure you're on top of your finances. One of the ways to do that is by using My Reseller Genie. Paul and Faith have been amazing. They are resellers. They've, you know, they jumped on board with making this software accessible to everyone once GoDaddy Bookkeeping went away, and they've only been building on it. So if you're stressed, if you feel like, you know, taxes are going to burn you out, or keeping track of your profit and loss, My Reseller Genie is the solution for you. You do get a 15% off the first month by using the link below and using our code PUREHUSTLE. You get 15% off the first month. But I got to tell you, this is not one of the things we're going to talk about today, because I knew we were going to talk about My Reseller Genie. But avoiding doing your taxes, avoiding keeping track of your financials will cause you to burn out, because, you know, you may be doing a lot better than you thought, but you never take a look because you're so busy, you know, being burnt out in a perpetual state of disarray. And My Reseller Genie will help you fix that. All right. Let's talk about death piles. For some people, it's rooms full of death piles. For some people, it's a garage full of death piles. And I'm not anti-death pile. I think there's a place for resellers to have death piles. Especially if you're picking up a lot of items. Sometimes, you know, you'll clean out an estate and you'll list all the big money makers first, right? Because you want to make your money back. You want to stay profitable. And that's okay. And I think it's okay to have a few piles around. Some people may disagree with that. But, you know, there's times that you may not be able to source, or there's times that you feel sick and you can't go out and about, or, you know, there's times that you may have a mini burnout and you don't want to go out and source. It's good to have that death pile. And so, you know, I'm not against it, but you got to limit them, because if you end up being a house of a hoarder, which I'll admit, my house has become that sometimes, right? Mike's been over when he used to live out here, and like, you go in the podcast room and there's like stuff everywhere, right? And you go in the other room and there's stuff everywhere, and you go in the living room and there's stuff everywhere, and it just gets depressing. It just gets sad. And you're like, you know what? Anything to avoid looking at that. Anything to avoid looking at those death piles. I mean, I've even had it where like, I wouldn't even eat dinner at my house because I don't want to look at more inventory. I tell my kids, I'm like, let's go out to eat. I can't do this anymore. So limit your death piles. And again, one of the ways to easily do that is have a schedule. Maybe have a time where, you know, this time every week, I look at those death piles and I at least source 5 to 10 items from those death piles until they're gone. Right. But I think, you got to be careful of, you know, there's this whole, I don't know, we've talked about this multiple times. Wasn't there a study that, like, when there's clutter everywhere, you can't think, like, you have a cluttered mind, yep. But if you clear up the space, you can think better?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when you have, part of it is just, like, the unknown, right? Like, you're constantly, like, what's in that pile of stuff? Like, what's, do I have bills there? And again, like, if you take all of this unknown and you get it all figured out, it's going to help you, right? Like, oh, okay, that's, these are the bills I owe for this. This is my stuff pile for taxes. I'm going to put this in this folder. I'm going to open that on this date. I'm going to do, it does clear your mind. And then also, yeah, just having the distraction-free area, you know, when you're surrounded by just stuff everywhere, it just, you don't feel as good. I know a lot of people who live, you know, in mess all the time. And I can't imagine it feels good, right? Because I know when I'm surrounded in mess, sometimes you don't even realize, but then as soon as you clean everything up and all of a sudden, like, your car is organized or your closet is organized, you just are like, ah, it feels better. You know, like, I didn't even realize, I was just like, it didn't feel good, but now it's like, it feels good, right? Like, and sometimes it's that same thing with, yeah, your death piles, right? Like, if you can get all that stuff cleaned up, or even just put into very clear, like, if you just have a random death pile versus, hey, here's my tote of unlisted shoes, and as soon as I get a few more, I'm going to start working on that. Here's my tote of some unlisted, like, shirts and other, you know, soft goods, and then here's a pile of some hard goods. I'm waiting until I have a few more electronics, and you kind of have them separated, and you have a plan for them, and you're not just putting it off for another day and just pushing it back and procrastinating. That helps too. So even if you have a death pile, just having those death piles organized is definitely very valuable. Another thing is continuing to source. Like, don't stop sourcing. I think one of the things that a lot of people struggle with is you get overwhelmed. Sometimes it's because of your death piles. And sometimes it's because you're not getting sales coming in through eBay and you don't feel like you get as much going on. But sometimes continuing to source can be the thing you need to keep going, because, man, there's nothing like being out at a garage sale or at a thrift store or being on Facebook Marketplace and finding that, like, grail item, mm-hmm. or just finding a killer deal that you know you're going to be able to flip fast, and just getting little wins. The more often you can win, the better. And so little wins here and there, like, oh, man, look at this great, like, you know, Walkman CD player I found. I'm going to be able to flip this and make $70. And then you do that, it just feels good, and it gives you that motivation to keep going. I guess I can go. I want to go to garage sales next week. I don't want to miss it, man. Look what I got last time. And so that can be the motivation you need to, is just to keep going. So, because one of the worst things you can do is stop completely. That is, I think, what takes somebody from burnout to just complete failure, is when they just completely give up. Obviously, if you completely give up, then at that point, you know, you've, by definition, you're not succeeding in it. But I think that's the temptation a lot of times, is I'm not getting a sales on eBay. I'm just going to, and you kind of sit and mope. But, man, if you can get a couple of quick wins, you can go outsourcing, that could be the motivation you need to keep going. But at the same time, I would argue you got to know yourself, because it could be that all you're doing is sourcing. And the reason why you're starting to get burnout is you're sourcing, and all you're doing is adding to a death pile. So you got to find that balance, what works for you.
No, I agree. But I got to tell you, as somebody who burns out a lot, this is why I get out there for the garage sales. Because the moment you get that score, you know, you have that, like you said, that grill, right? That item you never thought you'd find. Or you pick up an item for $5 and it sells for $800 or $500. Whatever it is, like, the dopamine hit keeps you going. And if you go without any dopamine hits, right, you're just, and we'll talk about this later too, but you know, you're never finding anything interesting, right? Because I know I get into this with people all the time, and Mike disagrees with me too, but part of what causes people to enjoy reselling is not just the profit. It's what you find, right? And I guess you can call those people pickers, but it's what you find. It's when you get out there and, you know, when within 1 hour, you're like, wow, look, I found all these items that they're going to make me $1,000. Now, as Mike said, you need to list those items. Don't let them sit around, because you will create a bigger problem. But for me, the biggest thing is if I go like 2 months without garage sales or 2 months without an incredible local deal, I begin to go like, I don't know if I care about this reselling thing. Like, this is warehouse work. All I'm doing is I'm taking pictures of stuff and I'm packaging them and shipping on. That's all I'm doing. The other component of reselling is not part of your life. And this last one, I don't know if it's controversial, but I tell people enjoy your profits. Not saying go on a binge, but listen, if you're, you know, especially if you're part-time, I would say, because full-time, it's a little more difficult. Like, full-time, you know, if you're doing it full-time, you need to spend your money to pay the bills. But if it comes to a point where, like, you're making a little bit more, like, you should spend it on something that is not related to your business. And maybe that's controversial because, you know, all the gurus tell you reinvest every dollar you make into your business. I disagree a little bit. I remember when I was part-timing for 4 or 5 years. Oh, did I enjoy that part-time money? I mean, I would go on vacations. I would, I'd go on dates. I would go, I'd go to some restaurant that I never would have gone to before reselling just because I could. And it kept me motivated. Go, man, I remember going to that Brazilian steakhouse. Like, I'm a work hard so I can, you know, drop that kind of money again. Or, you know, I was able to take my kids to Disney. And, man, that was an incredible time. Right? Because just, you know, just going like, oh, I'm doing this for the kids. Like, yeah, that'll get you motivated if you hit rock bottom and you have no options. But what if you're just tired of stuff? Like, it has to be something to enjoy. You have to do something with the money you're making. I don't know. Where do you land on this, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a fine line, like anything, you got to be able to walk here. And I think there's a line between being wise with your money and then being a complete miser, you know, where you refuse to spend any of your money, to be a Scrooge, right? Where there are people who are thrifty, you know, like that's not a negative thing, to be thrifty, to be wise, to shop for good deals, to reinvest into your business. Those things are important. But also, if you get to the end of your life and you just have a stack of money just sitting in an account somewhere, and you're like, man, I wasted, like, what good was that? Like, I didn't end up, you know, buying my kid that baseball bat that they wanted. And I didn't go to that vacation that I wanted to do. And I didn't, yeah, I mean, you got to spend some of it, right? Like, you got to enjoy the fruits of your labor, because otherwise somebody else is going to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Like, that's really what it comes down to. And that somebody else could just be the government when they take it in taxes. Or it could be somebody who, you know, inherits your account, which, again, I'm all for, you know, your setting up your kids and trying to help your kids out. Like, that is, to me, like, the number one thing. That's the reason I do this reselling thing, is to help set my family up and my kids up for their future. But if all I do at the end of the day is say, like, hey, look at the money I have for you that you're going to inherit when I die, versus look at the experiences that I gave you, look at the time that we spent together. So, yeah, you certainly need to enjoy some of your profits. And again, you can fall into the other ditch where you aren't being wise at all and you just blow it all. And that, I think, is also folly, right? Like, you got to be wise with how you're spending your money. And so don't be so stuck on just reinvesting. Now, I think, again, if you're trying to, I've got a 5-year plan for this business and I got to get to this place by this time so that I can achieve these goals, then yeah, go for it. Go all in on that. But also don't miss the journey. Miss the forest for the trees, or the trees for the forest. For, like, don't forget the fact that, like, you're doing this for a reason. And yeah, so, yeah. Spend some of that money, enjoy some of that time. I think that's great advice. And yeah, that could be what gets you out of the slump too, is if you say, like, hey, I'm gonna make X amount of money so that I can buy this gadget, this toy that I want, this, you know, thing in my hobby, or I could do this thing with my family. And then you do that thing, that could be that dopamine hit, right? Of like, all right, well, I can't wait until the next time that we go on a cruise. And so I'm going to start up that cruise fund again. And so, man, if I kind of pick up my reselling a little bit and just go a little bit extra, that's all going into the cruise fund. And then that gives you that motivation you need. And sometimes, look, the reality is internal discipline, internal, intrinsic motivation is the most important. But we all need a little bit of external motivation sometimes, right? We need a little bit of external to kind of keep us moving in the right direction. So I think that enjoying your profits is one of the best ways to do that.
100%. All right. Now, Before we jump into our hustle of the week, which is something that should motivate everybody, because you never know what you'll find. I do want to talk a little bit about the way you can help Pure Hustle Podcast. And so we've been doing this for, I don't know, 6-7 years. I've lost track full time. And, you know, during that time, our ad revenue like has been up and down. I mean, we've had months where Mike and I just did the podcast completely without any revenue coming in. Like, seriously, we just did it because we cared about the podcast. We wanted to help people out. And then there were times where, you know, things were really great. We got some brand deals. We got everything going on. But the one thing that really has helped us out in the last 2 years has been the Discord. And the reason we have this Discord is because people support us on Patreon. So when people support us on Patreon, regardless of the ebb and flow of, you know, revenue coming in from ads, whether, you know, and the thing is, I would love if we got to a place where we made enough, you know, like on the Patreon where we never had to do ads. And you're like, well, you guys could do this for free anyways. We could, but doing the podcast takes away from our business, takes away from our family. And we actually do believe that our time is valuable. It's worth something. And so we appreciate everyone that supports us on Patreon. If you haven't yet, for $5.55 a month, you can't get a Chick-fil-A sandwich. You can't get a Big Mac. You can't get a lot of things anymore. But you can get into our Discord. And so help us out. Go to the link below. Join patreon.com/purehustlepodcast. And we'll see you in the Discord. Also, thank you to all of you that are always, you know, supporting us on social media. We are Pure Hustle Podcast on all socials. We are Pure Hustle Cast on Twitter. You can always shoot us an email at purehustlepodcast@gmail.com. Actually, one of our Hustle of the Week comes from our email. So again, that's purehustlepodcast@gmail.com. You can always give us a call, 619-738-1170. That's 619-738-1170. And as always, grateful for all the iTunes reviews. They've always, you know, I got to tell you, they're really encouraging. Even the ones that I'm like, oh, man, that wasn't like, that wasn't very kind. But I look at them and I'm like, you know what? I'm grateful for that review because that challenges me. That causes me to rethink things. And Mike and I go back. So we always want to keep it real. Now, do we appreciate the positive reviews? We always want the positive review. I don't want negative reviews. But, you know, I'm open to people's opinions. So thank you to all of you that have on iTunes shared with us your thoughts on the podcast. Please help us out by leaving that 5-star review because that 5-star review helps us in the algorithm. And actually, I wanted to share some of these. We haven't done this in a while. And we haven't shared some of our latest reviews. So, hey, we are almost at, where are we? Let me brighten my screen a little bit here on my phone. So we're almost at 800 reviews. So if you haven't jumped on and you know, dropped us a review, please do so. It really helps us. So, oh, we got a 1-star. Can we let's do the 1-star first.
Right, hold on. Let me make up a fake sound effect. Womp, womp, womp. All right. What do we got?
All right. Womp, womp. Okay. These guys are the reason people CO dot, dot, dot. So I don't even know. Like where it's going. I haven't even read this. Okay. So this is first time reading.
Maybe you should read it real quick before. I mean, we've had some instances where you've accidentally read stuff live. So
it's just people upset. It says that I do shady stuff. Okay. So let's read this. It said, this is comes from, RM197812. So appreciate you. Says whether it's all the tips for manipulating people at garage sales to emotionally detach them from stuff. I wish I had that power. I wish I had the ability to be able just to somehow give you what? Texting and trying to shame kids who don't lowball. Oh my goodness.
That was a funny story.
Yeah, but that wasn't, it wasn't the, it was the, oh my God. You know, I don't feel the need to defend myself. Check out, it was that 3 podcasts ago. Buying stuff at retail stores only to return it if it doesn't sell. Okay, I admit I've done that once or twice. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and okay, to be fair, like I wanna qualify this one. I don't feel like I need to defend myself on stuff. But we've always said we're real relevant resellers. And going back to this idea of like I started reselling, you know, brand new several years ago. And that wasn't something I would recommend as like a business practice. Like this is something you should do. But like as a new reseller, I don't know anything. It's like, oh, I could buy this thing at Walmart, maybe sell it. And then I list it on eBay and like a week later it doesn't sell. And I'm like, this was a bad idea. And I take it back. Look, I've done that a couple of times. We don't on the podcast say like, hey, this is what you should do. You should buy stuff, try and sell.
Never.
We've said this
it's
has
the
happened.
Walk of like, shame. Yeah, don't do it.
That's funny.
Dude, this person, man. Hey, I can tell this person's always an avid listener of the podcast because everything they talk about, like, you wouldn't get this from one or two. So appreciate all the listens. No, because they keep going. It's not done yet. I'm not done yet.
Wait, is there stuff about AI AI music too?
No, there's no. Don't share our secrets. All right. So, buying stuff. Okay. To only return it, blah, blah, blah. If it doesn't tell. Oh, they put O-H-H-H. And wishing they had gotten a PPP loan to level up. They had gotten a PPP to level up their business when they have no actual employees. Okay. They haven't listened enough because I did have two helpers. I call them helpers at a certain point. These guys are the reason people complain about resellers. Are they, though? Are they? Do we sell a bill of goods? I don't think we do. All right. And then it said the main complaint of resellers in general is that they try and take advantage of the average person for their own gain. All right. So my counter is, do people, like, how come you're not mentioning, like, Walmart or JetBlue or Uber or every single business that buys low and sells high? Every business that negotiates a lower price to sell it to you. Don't come hating on resellers. You obviously do not understand how business works, my friend. But let's keep reading. Ding, ding, ding. I'm sure they are good people with families who they take care of, but they have lost sight of the teaching aspect of this podcast. It has become about how you can manipulate the system more. What? Mike, have we not talked about the same stuff since episode one? I don't think ever not stopped talking about the same stuff.
Yeah. We're definitely not trying to manipulate anything, but that's fine. I mean, look, people are going to have different opinions. I've just learned that in life that you know, the same people, like, you're never going to make anybody, everybody happy. But yeah, I'm happy with the integrity that we have with the podcast. I feel like both of us have made mistakes on things, and we gladly own it. Nobody's perfect. And I think the fact that we openly share, you know, like, failures and things on the podcast, but we're definitely not manipulators. We've never tried to push, like, hey, do this and you'll make this.
No,
now, negotiating skills, that is something that's important. I will push that. Like, learn to negotiate at garage sales. That's important. But again, like I've even said in the past on this, is part of it could be a cultural thing, right? Like, some communities, some cultures, some people love negotiating. That's part of, it's built into the way they interact with people, you know? And then other people see it and they don't like that. It makes them uncomfortable. And so you can't judge everybody's situation based off of your comfort level or not. Like, right? The same thing, like, different people have different experiences for their family. Like, some families are loud. They love to, like, argue and back and forth, and they use their hands when they talk. And so a family that's a little bit more timid comes over and visits, and they feel like, oh, this isn't good. But it's like, no, that's how they communicate. This isn't unusual for them. So yeah, I have no problem with them saying that they don't, that's not how they operate. That's fine. Thank you for the one star.
We're not done yet, though. We're not done. This keeps going.
All right.
I'm enjoying this.
We're going to have to hustle through our hustles after we go through this.
I know. No. We'll be good. It says, times are hard for everyone. You start taking advantage of others. What? The question is, what I always ask people when they say that resellers take advantage of others is, I don't understand why resellers are held to a different standard than every other business, right? We're people of integrity. Right. I'm legit on everything I do. This is the reason I show things on Instagram. This is the reason we talk about it on the podcast. I do both because I want people to see the real world, see what actually happens in reselling. And every time Orlando does something shady, he laughs. If he played poker, he'd be screwed. What? What? I don't even understand. Like, Hold on. The reason I laugh is because I don't do anything shady. Like, if you're doing something shady, you keep quiet and you don't tell people, you don't broadcast it on social media. That'd be stupid.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No. I mean, I here's the thing. Is I don't think this person is saying what they're saying just about resellers in general. I think this is targeted about, like, how we're our specific style of reselling. And again, it's tough because, like, everybody does things differently. So, you know, if you've got a good source, like, you've got a source where you get, you know, I have these people who I pick up these items from and I don't have to negotiate. And then you see the way other people do business and they go to garage sales and they negotiate. You know, it's like, you can't judge. Everybody's in a different situation. So that's fine. Thank you for the one star. Appreciate the comment.
Let me finish.
Orlando, you're killing me on this.
Okay. All right. Anyways, I hate writing reviews, but I just think the reselling community as a whole does not need more justification to make people hate them. So I guess we are.
It's at us.
Yeah. It's I just don't understand. Like, it's just what. Okay, let's end on a positive. You want to end on a positive? And then we'll go there. All right. This comes from, let's see here. Okay. This comes from Mikey Lee, 23, dynamic duo, 5 stars, gave up true crime for these guys. I've learned so much from Mike and Orlando, 2 really great men, full of reselling tips and their voices and stories. Emoji flame, emoji flame, emoji star, 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 star.
Oh man, you know, you're Gen X, but sometimes I feel like you're almost boomer.
Wait, you know what?
You're not supposed to read the emojis.
No, so hey, I want to encourage everybody, if you enjoy the podcast, you do so, hey, get us back up. We're at 4.8 now. I don't know what when it's some, you know, maybe we've gone downhill. Maybe, you know, we have become master manipulators in the reselling community. So
anyways. We're real bad at it if we are. We're like not master manipulators. We're like real bad manipulators, because we definitely have not been able to like grow this audience of like, come follow us. I'll teach you the skills to manipulate.
That is true. That is true. All right. All right. Let's move forward. Okay. Let's talk about some good hustles of the week.
All right. Here we go. Yeah. All right. Hustle of the week. Our first one comes from at Free King Flipper on Instagram. So had a recent hustle of the week on episode 382. So decided to stop by the dump on the way home. Normal stop every once in a while to see what people drop off. That's an interesting one. We don't talk a lot about people sourcing from the dump. Someone dropped 2 bins. Hustlers. One was full of baseball protective gear and another one full of toys. Came across 2 rare Lego Star Wars minifigs. Nice. Listed on eBay and put the two together. Within a couple of days, sold 2 Phase 1 Commander Lego Star Wars minifigs for $250 plus shipping.
Crazy as that.
Man, from the dump. Like, that's literally like rescuing trash. Rescuing treasure out of a dump pile and then turning it into money, you know, and that's a grind right there. Like, if you're willing to, I mean, we've talked a little bit about like dumpster diving. It's not something that Orlando and I do pretty much at all, except for maybe grab some boxes here and there. I have done it in my past when I was like in high school and just out of high school. But man, to see like, I mean, that's one of the things that I think is maybe an untapped market. You got to be willing to put in like a serious grind. But sometimes when I'm at the bins, I feel like I'm at the dump. So you never know. You never know what you're going to find.
No, I think that was like nearby. Like, he was taking out his trash. Right. So, and I appreciate you, you know, he wasn't taking out the trash. He was just stopping by the dump on his way home. I'm confusing that with the next story, because the other story is the same kind of story. Yeah, but freaking Flipper, like, always coming out with great scores. Check him out on Instagram. You'll see, you know, what he found and everything. Just a crazy story. All right, this next one comes from Retired and Reselling from TikTok. TikTok, we haven't heard from somebody in TikTok in a long time, because we haven't posted on TikTok. We haven't been manipulating on TikTok. All right, decided to go dumpster diving while emptying out their garbage and came across a dumpster with all kinds of items, including toys. Found a car case full of vintage Hot Wheels red lines. What? Who throws those away? Who throws those away? Sold $300 worth immediately and in total made over $1,000 on that dumpster find. And here's what's funny. When you watch that video on TikTok, you see all the comments. TikTok is the most vicious place. You think our review is vicious? You should try being on TikTok for a little bit. Like, it's just terrible. And people are like, oh, you staged that. Oh, you put that. And I'm like, really? Somebody went out of their way, found a vintage Redlines case with vintage Redline cars, and they put it in the dumpster so they could shoot a video later? Like, I wouldn't even risk losing that money. Like, anything can happen. But Retired and Reselling found these. I mean, that's a score. And here's what people need to understand. There's no rhyme or reason why people do things sometimes. I have scored stuff for free and made hundreds of dollars, and people didn't think about it. And this is actually what the next story is, too. It's something that people were going to throw out, and they scored money. So, nice score there, Retired and Reselling.
All right, very good. Our next one comes from our Gmail. So it says, hello, this is Rocky Mountain Picker, and my hustle of the week comes from Denver, Colorado. I'm a delivery driver full-time and found my hustle while out on the job. At the customer's house, I couldn't help but notice something among a bunch of boxes and other trash items. I asked him if all this was going to be thrown out, and he said yes. Yes, please take whatever you want. The item I found was a vintage 1977 Kiss Aucoin plastic toy guitar by Carnival HTF. There were zero listed and only two sold, with one selling for $700. I took a chance and listed it high. Sold overnight for $999.99 plus $89 in shipping. This was my biggest sale to date since starting to resell a year and a half ago, and it was something I saved from the trash. Man, today is like a... Today, we got a theme going on here.
I know, that was on purpose, but yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So you can see the sale and more on my YouTube channel and Instagram, so go check out at Rocky Mountain Picker. He says, thank you, PHP, for keeping up the good work. Man, what a great hustle. I love that. And to be your biggest, right? And that's one of the reasons we talked about continuing to source, right? Because when you find those deals, man, that's going to make you want to keep going. When you can get something from free 99 and sell it for $9.99, man. And by $9.99, I mean $999.
Almost $1,000. Yeah, and all these were the stuff that would have been thrown away. Right? Resellers are the heroes of this world. They rescue items, right? Keeping them from the landfills, and they go to good homes. So anyways, I really appreciate all those hustles of the week. All right, I'll share mine real quick. So last summer, I manipulated a family to sell me all their duck decoys, and I got those duck decoys for $500. I don't know if you guys remember, but I picked up a bunch of duck decoys, some railroad lanterns. And remember, that was the one where the railroad lantern, I sold it for $500 within 24 hours and made my money back, but I probably could have sold it for $2,000 to $3,000. That's okay, though. That's okay. Things happen, right? And so I ended up selling a bunch of other duck decoys, and I've probably made at least $2,500 net profit since then. And I still have duck decoys. I actually have like 20 more duck decoys I haven't even listed yet from that haul. The reason I haven't listed those is I can't identify them. There's no signatures on the bottom. You always want to look for a signature. Well, I sold one the other day. I totally forgot I even had this one. It was in one of my display cases. I haven't looked at it in a while. And it's a Tom Tabor. So Tom Tabor is a duck decoy you want to look out for. You look at the signature on the bottom. It'll say Tom Tabor. And sometimes it has another individual's name on there. Can't remember at the moment, but ended up selling for $250 plus ship, and got positive feedback. And the person said, hey, great duck decoy to add to my collection. So duck decoys, do I say they're a bolo? I'm kind of hesitant because they are like long tail. They do take a while. But if you're going to get them at a great price, it's definitely worth picking up, especially if you can identify them and find comps. So really happy about that. Hustle of the week. All right, Mike, what do you got?
Well, my hustle of the week, I think what I originally was going to talk about is a little bit longer of a story. So I think I'm going to push that to a random story on our next update episode. But what I will talk about is not a huge hustle, but I sold just recently a baseball glove that I picked up at a garage sale for probably $1, maybe $2. I'm trying to remember, but most likely it was about $1. And I sold it for $30 plus shipping. And it's, again, not a huge deal, but a lot of times making $30 happens when I'm spending 10 bucks on an item, right? You spend $10 on an item, you sell it for 50. By the time it's all said and done, you made 30 bucks. That's a pretty decent sale. I'm happy with those. Those are like the nice bread and butter, not just like meh. But this was like $1 to $30. I get those quite a bit, but when they do happen, they're pretty exciting. So I'll take it, especially because it had been sitting for a while too. And so it's like a nice surprise just to be like, oh, look, this item sold. So, yep, that is my hustle of the week.
There you go. And again, it doesn't have to be several hundred dollars. It doesn't have to be $1,000. It could just be, you know, I bought something for $5 and I sold it for $40 or $50 or $1 and I sold it for $30. Because, again, resellers come from all different areas of reselling, whether you're just starting out or you're a part-time reseller, it's a win's a win. So appreciate all of you sending those over. Hey, before moving on, if you haven't yet, join us on Whatnot on Thursdays. I'm doing shows. In case you didn't know, I got locked out. I got gated in Whatnot last week, but I will be ungated. I'm planning on selling a bunch of hats starting at 10 a.m. Tomorrow. And so if you haven't yet, get that free $15. Go to our link below and use that Whatnot link. And you don't have to source from my store. You can get it from anywhere else. All right. So a couple other ones I want to wrap things up here about how to prevent burnout. Source what you enjoy. I find that, you know, a lot of people, they just start sourcing whatever they see on YouTube and then they get exhausted. I can't tell you how many social media posts I've seen where like, yeah, I used to pick up, you know, these salt and pepper shakers. Not that this is a bolo, but I kept picking up everywhere. And now I have like 50 of them. And I don't care to take pictures. I don't care to list them. I don't want to do anything with them. Or Mike and I always talk about DVD recorders or dual deck VCR DVDs. Like, yeah, there's money in them, but I don't care to do all the work that's entailed, like testing it out, cleaning it up. And then when it sells, having a packet, because the packing at least takes about good 20 to 30 minutes. Like, I'm just not a fan of that. And so if you feel like you're being burnt out, take a look at what you're sourcing. Do you really care? Like, are you even like excited about listing and seeing what you'll get for it? Are you excited about cleaning this up and seeing how good you can make it look? Because if you're not, and it's just becoming, you know, this drudgery all the time, maybe you need to adjust. Maybe, you know, to prevent that burnout, try to find things that you do enjoy sourcing. This is why I've gone away from clothing to collectibles, because I really enjoy collectibles, especially toys. The reason I like collectible toys is they're nostalgic. I don't get returns on them, I don't think ever. Maybe I've gotten one or two because, you know, they're not electronic. You know, there's not anything crazy to them. And even, you know, if they're worn, people like them because it's nostalgic. And so the shipping's really easy. And so I enjoy sourcing those items. One thing I won't source. So the other day, I forget what it was. It was something that I could have made money. I picked up a New Wave. For example, I picked up a New Wave like dehydration thing for $5. I'll be able to sell it for $80. Guess what I did with that over the last 2 weeks, Mike?
What's that?
I set it down. And that's it. I haven't listed it. I don't care to list it. I don't even if it sells, I don't want to pack it. I don't want to ship it. Like, because at the same time, I could sell, you know, a vintage toy, or I could sell a vintage shirt or whatever for the same amount of money that will take me the less amount of time. And I care about that. So why did I pick up that New Wave? Because I saw some YouTubers talking about it going, hey, you can make good money on this. And I thought, I'll try it out. And now I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Or the other day I saw some vintage JBL speakers, which I could have picked up for $10 and sold for $100. Then I was thinking about the work that it would take to pack those and ship them out. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pass on these. Because I know if I picked up like 20 sets of those and they're a great price, I would burn out really quick because I would want nothing to do with them. All right. Now, do you think this last one here is controversial, Mike?
All right. So our last one, take a break if needed. Now, this kind of goes back to our first point, which is don't let reselling completely all consume your life. Now, one of the ways you can do that is to take a break. Now, this can be tough, but think about any job. Like, unless, like I said, you're one of those top 1% of the 1% people who are just a unnatural freak of nature that can just go 24/7 in your business. You eat, breathe, and live this. It is your entire life. Usually, a little bit of time away can be really helpful. Now, the hard part is a lot of people think taking 1 or 2 days, taking a 3-day vacation is enough. A lot of times that's not enough. Like, that's not enough time to really actually reset you. So what a lot of people will do, it's almost like people who will like try and binge diet, where they go their whole life without like eating well, and then they try really hard for like 2 weeks to crash diet down, and then they do okay, and then they rebound back up, and there's no long-term stick. So what I think is probably actually a more healthy way of taking a break is to build it in regularly. Take a break once a week. Take a break once every couple of weeks and say, this day of the week, it's a family day, or it's a me day. I'm not going to do reselling. It's my day off. I'm taking this day off. And if you build that in, it actually can help recharge you, right? Like, getting a full 8 hours of sleep is going to help you the whole day. If you go week after week of just sleeping 4 hours a night, eventually you're going to have detrimental effects. And I think the same thing is true on a larger scale. If you're going day after day after day on, you know, whatever it is, garage sales, and you're listing and you're doing death piles and you're constantly shipping stuff, you'll start to feel that burnout. So you need to take the time, build in a break, build it into your schedule, be intentional about it, and actually be intentional about it. Don't just say, I'm going to take a break, but you're spending the whole time still on Facebook Marketplace or still doing other things. Like, actually step away. Step away for a little bit. I think it could be useful. Again, the hard part is people want to hear what they want to hear. So if they're feeling burnt out, and to them taking a break means I'm just going to like take breaks all the time and I'm not going to work, and you start working less and less, that may not be the answer, right? So be intentional. Make it short but powerful, and I think it'll be useful.
I'm telling you, it's the biggest changer. I mean, that's one of the reasons, like, this last 2 years, things have been kind of rough for me. Like, I haven't taken a long break. Like, I haven't gone out for like 2 weeks and just not done reselling. I don't think I've even taken any breaks. So I strongly encourage you, if you can do it, you know, just change your handling time, or, you know, just put your store away, but that you're still going to sell items. You're just going to ship them when you return. You may feel refreshed, and may encourage you, because when you start making sales while you're taking that break, you might like be like, wow, like, I really didn't even have to work these last few days. I'm still able to get sales during this time. Wow, I want to get back, and I want to get to being consistent about my reselling best practices of listing every day, of shipping on time, and all these things to avoid burnout. And hey, burnout is real. It's what happens in reselling, but you definitely can prevent it by not talking about, but implementing everything we talked about over this last hour of the podcast. Appreciate every single one of you. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to smash that like button. Leave us a positive review on iTunes. And with that being said, make sure to be real.
Be relevant.
And be reselling.
Peace.